continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. Since the November election, reported incidents of overt hostility toward minorities and immigrants have increased. From physical altercations to poison pen letters and internet comments, some people seem to feel emboldened by the election results to express opinions that are at best unkind and at worst racist, misogynistic, or homophobic.
Noah Michelson was on the receiving end of three quite ugly letters, all postmarked from Milwaukee. Michelson is from Racine and still has family there, but he has lived and worked in New York City for more than a decade. He's currently the editor-director of the Huffington Post's Voices Department and executive editor of its subsection, Queer Voices.
We reached Michelson at his office in New York earlier this week to ask about the letters.
You know, my job as someone who works at the Huffington Post, which is a very progressive site, and also someone who heads up the queer section of the Huffington Post, I get a lot of hate mail. It's not an unusual thing for me to get hate mail. But I returned home from Thanksgiving. I was in Wisconsin for Thanksgiving, and I came back to New York, and I had three letters waiting for me, all from the same postmark. It was all from Milwaukee. And all three letters said the same thing. Basically, they were the person who wrote them was very angry at me for some anti-Donald Trump things I had posted on my personal Facebook page. And they used a bunch of slurs against me. And they revealed that they had gone to high school with me and that they knew me well, but that they felt like they had to write me and tell me how angry they were at me for being anti-Donald Trump. And they finished by saying that they were going to not only try and get me fired from my job for what I'd done, but also that they were going to file a lawsuit against me for what I'd said.
A personal lawsuit.
A personal lawsuit, but also one against the Huffington Post as well. So they were very angry, angry enough to send three different letters that were postmarked on different dates. So it's not like they even sent them all together. They had had some time to think about this and still decided to, you know, eventually send three of them. And it shocked me, I guess. Like I said, I get a lot of hate mail, but I've never had one from someone that I know well, or at least knew well at some point in my life, and two, never that was kind of quite so personal and directed quite so vehemently against me. So I responded to it on Facebook, my own personal Facebook, and I said, this is what happened. And I kind of, you know, my tone when I write is sort of tongue-in-cheek and kind of sassy. And I responded in the same way. And I just said, you know, I'm not afraid of this. And I'm really disappointed that this is someone that I knew. But it's not going to make me afraid. And I got such a great response. And people were sharing it. I think it got like 400 shares just from my personal Facebook post. And I thought, you know what, this is something that I should write about on the Huffington Post. I have this platform. We have millions and millions of people reading us every single month. And I know this is a conversation that's happening throughout the country, throughout the world, actually. And I know I'm not the only person who's on the receiving end of hate right now. So why don't we dig deeper into this, and why don't I put this on the Huffington Post? So that's what I ended up doing.
And what has been the response to that? Because that is a much more formal platform.
Yeah, it's been incredible. I think it's been shared over 45,000 times, and I've gotten so much personal mail back from people who I've never met, who I don't know, from around the world saying, we read this, we're sorry this happened to you, we stand with you. Some people telling me about their own experiences with hate in the last month since Trump was elected. And it was very powerful. And it actually, for personal reasons, I'm really glad that I did it. You know, I was happy it did so well. I'm happy that so many people saw it. But also just for myself, in that moment of receiving that kind of hate, to have other people stand up and say, no, we're with you. In fact, today in the mail, I actually got three letters from someone else in San Francisco. I don't know this person. But they wrote me and they said, I know that you got three pieces of hate mail. And so I wanted to write you three pieces of basically, you know, fan mail and say that I really appreciate what you did. And I hope maybe this cancels out what you received. And I thought that was so sweet. So people have been incredible.
One of the things that I think journalists around the country have been thinking about is exactly that. As a journalist, you're used to getting mail that is not complimentary. Let's just put it that way. But usually it's based in some sort of fact. Mm. But the fact that this is so personal, and as you say, you're not the only one that is receiving this kind of barrage of hatred. And I'm sure you've talked to your bosses about it at Huffington Post, and we certainly have talked about it here in in meetings, you know, how do you plan to go forward with that? I mean, are you reporting this kind of hate mail?
I thought about that. People asked me if I was going to report it. I didn't report this because there wasn't a threat made to my person. It was actually a very civil letter, despite all the slurs and despite all the really kind of awful language. They didn't say they were going to hurt me. They didn't make a threat on my life. They said they were going to try and get me fired, which, if you know the Huffington Post and you know our viewpoint on Donald Trump, it's going to be pretty tough for them to get me fired for being anti-Donald Trump. And a lawsuit against me is also just there is no grounds there for that. So I guess I could have reported it, but I didn't. And I think going forward, these are conversations we're all having around the country as journalists, because there are threats being made that are threats to our personhood, that are threats to our lives. Those definitely need to be reported. We've had more security at our office because of these kinds of things. But I think even from a personal point, you have to think, how do I want to move forward? Have I been too outspoken? Is there such a thing as being too outspoken? And also as a journalist, how do you stay neutral? How do you stay factual? How do you stay accurate when you're also writing about very personal things and you're including your viewpoint in there too? As the head of a queer section, it's a little bit different. We're not just reporting on the straight facts. We do have a point of view, and we do think that queer people should have rights. And we do know that under a Trump-Pence administration, those rights might be taken away or at least challenged. And so, the line is blurry between how do you handle something like this? What's your role in it? I think the bottom line for me is that I'm going to keep speaking out. I know there's so many people in this country who feel like they don't know what they're supposed to do right now. And I think for those of us who have the words and have the platform to say something, it's even more important because we're speaking for those people. We're giving those people a way to process their confusion, their grief, their fear. And so I feel like in, the last 30 days, my job has become even more important than it was, 60 days ago.
You said something at the beginning of that comment, am I too outspoken? Is there such a thing? And I think journalism, the big part of the job is to speak truth to power.
Mm.
And when we question that, I think that is a slippery slope to go down to. We have to come back to saying, no, this is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and I think, too, that if the media had done a better job, if we had done a better job covering Trump in the last year, I don't know that we would be here. Maybe we would. Maybe this was going to happen no matter what because of the way that people feel in this country, and I honor that and I respect that. I understand that. But I also think that the media was way too soft on Trump, and I think that they sort of looked at him as a spectacle. They didn't ask him the hard questions. They didn't frame their stories in ways that really gave the truth of what was going on. And so I think that our job now, even those people who are at places, at journalistic outlets that are more middle of the road, that are more concerned with the facts sort of less partisan than we are, I still think all of our jobs right now is to be scrutinizing everything that's coming out of the administration, to not be distracted by these tweets that are happening and all these other kind of smoke and mirrors. And I think that that's what we all have to be concentrating on right now.
Are you concerned for your own personal safety?
I am not. And that might be a bit cavalier. That might be, me speaking as someone who's lived in New York for 13 years, as a queer man who's existed in this world for 38 years and who has felt attacked in many different ways before. This person who sent me this hate mail, I think they just needed an outlet. I think they were just angry. I found out from another friend of mine who went to high school with me, who is not in the media, who is not a public citizen. He also received a letter from the same person full of racial slurs. So I think this person just sort of wanted to go on a victory lap after the election and just was sort of looking for an outlet to do that. And I don't know about other things. I think that people do feel emboldened right now to attack physically through social media because of what happened. I think we're all kind of on edge. I don't know about in Milwaukee, but even in New York, you get on the subway, it doesn't feel like it did 30 days ago. I think everyone's sort of, their their fuses are lit. And so it is kind of scary, but I don't. I just have to move forward and do what I do and hope that it's going to be okay. I can't really worry about that too much.
Well, I hope that since you are a Wisconsin native, that you will stay in touch with us and maybe come on and talk with us in the future, because I would love to hear how you're feeling, you know, how things at the Huffington Post are feeling as we move into this this next 4 years.
I would love that, Bonnie. And thanks for having me on today.
You're very, very welcome, Noah. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Noah Michelson is a Racine native and a graduate of the Prairie School. He's the editor-director of the Huffington Post's Voices Department and the executive editor of its Queer Voices. He spoke to us from his office in New York City.